News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Burials taking place in Gaza and hospitals are flooded with wounded Palestinians after Israeli troops opened fire near a crowd trying to collect food at an aid distribution site. Hospital officials say 80 people died and more than 150 were injured. Here's ABC Chief Foreign Correspondent Ian Pannell.
There have been multiple killings at food sites over the last few weeks. As the crisis on the ground worsens, the UN's food program estimating 90,000 Palestinians are suffering from malnutrition, many on the brink of starvation.
A Bangladesh military plane crashed into a school today in Dhaka, the death toll rising to 18 with 164 others injured, according to a spokesman for the Bangladesh Armed Forces. The school had some 2,000 students from elementary through high school. The search for victims from the July 4th flooding in Central Texas has been going on for weeks. Now the list of people unaccounted for is down to just 8, down from 160 who had been on the list before. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The National Weather Service confirmed Wednesday an EF1 rated tornado with winds reaching 95 miles per hour touched down near County Road YZ and Z in Dodgeville. The tornado, with a maximum width of 150 yards and a path length of 6.95 miles, moved northeast through a cornfield before continuing to impact numerous trees and three outbuildings. The most significant damage occurred off County Road ZZ, where numerous large, healthy hardwood trees were uprooted. The tornado's path ended near Knobs Road, just west of County Road H. The National Weather Service Milwaukee Sullivan office confirmed the tornado after conducting a field survey with Amanda Gardner with Iowa County Emergency Management on Thursday. According to Gardner, no injuries or residential home damage were reported, and most of the damage was to trees and crops. A criminal complaint was issued against Gavin Thompson, 23 of Dodgeville, according to a press conference Friday at the Iowa County Law Enforcement Center. Thompson will be formally charged in Iowa County court for first-degree intentional homicide of Dodgeville resident Dorinda Sedgebrecht, burglary while armed, hiding a corpse, and operation of a motor vehicle without consent, along with other possible charges. Gavin Thompson was arrested in Lincoln, Nebraska, following a pursuit, crashing the vehicle and trying to flee on foot. The body of Dorinda Sedgebrecht, 67 of Dodgeville, was located in the vehicle. Authorities believe the killing was a random act of violence. There was no known relationship between the suspect and the victim.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A 10-game winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a series tonight against the Mariners in Seattle, trying to keep a 10-game winning streak alive. Milwaukee beat the Dodgers in L.A. yesterday, 6-5, to move into a tie with the Cubs for first place in their division. The Brewers doing it with a roster of no-name players, according to Pat Murphy.
Monasterio stepping up, getting a huge two-out hit, RBI, Perkins. Perkins literally didn't have spring training. And what can you say about Collins? Collins Vaughn and Durbin have given us such a lift, but Collins has been the silent hero. He's played great defense, gotten big hits, hitting fourth in the lineup. The kid wasn't going to make the team in spring training unless there was a huge injury, and there was two of them, but he wasn't making the team. He's hitting fourth in our lineup. Vaughn was in AAA last week and couldn't break the lineup on a last place team. So, you know, we're just really fortunate that these guys are gelling and coming together and just, you know, playing hungry.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop into the mid-60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny, warm, and muggy with highs back into the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
On Monday, I'll still be camping in the Northwoods, so Matt Rothschild is in the guest host chair. He'll be bringing you his thoughts about Wisconsin progressivism and, of course, some slamming poetry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06 on a Monday morning, July 21st, 2025. Nice to have you here up north and statewide. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is hanging around as co-host for this fine Monday morning. And Parker, let's give the guys in Madison a proper introduction.
Civic Media Now proudly presents... Proudly? Proudly. Seriously, proudly. That's a stretch. How about, here they are, John and Gordy. Let's go with that, shall we?
Probably. Yes. Let's go with
that. Who writes this crap?
That's Catherine Lake, yeah, our program manager.
That would be Catherine. Yep, yeah, giving you just the her giving it her all on an introduction. Yeah. So thanks for that, Catherine. Guys, how are you?
Well, doing okay for a Monday. Yeah. How are you? Yeah.
We're good here. Well, we're ensconced in our usual weekday morning home, whereas Brittany's out there in the elements. Which makes sense because she's a meteorologist, but she's out in the elements of the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. So rain or shine, she's one happy camper, quite literally, aren't you?
I really am. Woo! Camping out here all week long, like you said, through all the storms and anything that's coming my way. This morning, overnight, it was pretty crisp. It was chilly out there. Temperatures right now, 54 to 68 degrees across the state. We're going to stay refreshed today. Nice and comfortable. Low 70s to low 80s. Statewide, no big humidity or mugginess really pushing in, but the wildfire smoke is here, so a hazy sunshine and also a few clouds scattered out there as well. So a little breezy this morning. The heat will start to crank up a little bit tomorrow, and we are looking at active weather this week too, so chances for some showers and maybe a small thunderstorm far northwest in the state this afternoon. Those could work their way towards central areas late tonight. And then some more tomorrow morning, mainly down south. We're looking at storms rolling through tomorrow morning. Gone by midday, heat starts to crank up. And let me tell you, more storms Tuesday night and into our Wednesday morning. And after that, that's when it's going to be in the 90s. With the humidity right up there as well, feeling very, very oppressive. So you're going to see me dripping sweat out here because I don't have AC. I don't have those luxuries. So we're going to be really living it this week.
It sure sounds like it. I mean, but... You're prepared for this. This is nothing you haven't seen before.
No.
You know?
Not at all. I've got the tent waterproof, staked down. I got the tarp underneath. I've got a fan, solar fan. I've even got solar charging devices, too. So a lot of different things working with the sun here.
What would be the biggest treat for you at Air Venture to be, you know, invited to do? Would it be to go up for a ride on the blimp, one of the military jets?
Fighter jet. For sure. Really? That would be crazy. That is on my bucket list. Still never gotten to do that. Sometimes they pick media to go. I've never been the lucky duck yet, so fingers crossed.
Mine would be getting an all-you-can-eat wristband to wear to go through all the food booths. That's because it's on the ground. I can do all that. While we got the guys here, John, Gordy, you guys Air Venture enthusiasts and or any requests to make of Brittany while she's out there?
Well, I would love to go to the EAA sometime. I've never been there, but it sounds like a wonderful event. And it goes on all week, right? Right through
yes,
Friday, Saturday?
Yes, it does. Yep. All week long. And the really cool thing is if you want to avoid a lot of the people, you come during the week, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Monday through Wednesday. And then it kind of repeats. I mean, there's definitely different things every single day, but they kind of try to repeat the show again. So then Thursday through Saturday is kind of a repeat of that. But Wednesday and Saturday are my personal favorites because they have the night air show. So that is fireworks on top of planes flying. The planes are shooting off fireworks. And then there's explosives on the ground and just stuff you've never seen. And the drone lights, too. And it is a show, let me tell you.
Sounds like a war zone.
It does, doesn't it?
Like. They actually act that out, too. When they have the military, they'll do like a military. This is what's happening. People dropping from helicopters, little bombs going off.
Like a reenactment. Okay.
Yes. I've never seen anything like that, but here.
To what degree, because I didn't really look, and but it also didn't stick out, are drones a part of this? Is it pretty much just, you know, aircraft that you can fly and that people fly as opposed to things that are unmanned?
Oh, they'll definitely have drones here, too. So anything that has to do with off the ground, they've got it here. So, yep, drones are a part of it. They've even got, like, cool GPS things for airplanes, too. I mean, tech side is really big, plus the aviation.
So anything defying gravity, which means the cast of Wicked will be there as well for a big sing-along. So stick around for that. Brittany, thank you so much for the weather update. Have lots of fun. Are you going to try to check in tomorrow?
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All
Thank you.
Have fun. Great to see you. Before we talk more with Kristen and John and Gordy, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Of course, we've got notes in there today about the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Learn more about how the community comes together and all of the volunteers who make things work. Also, an article about American Family Field as the second half of the baseball season is underway now. Some of the best eats at AmFam Field this season. Also, there is a link to my article from our website. It's what's not in the state budget that is generating both anger and 2026 candidates. And all that and more in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. So, gang, I've got, you know when they say a service person will be there to work on your cable or your appliances or whatever, and it said, you know, they'll be there between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even a three-hour window now. It's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So Kristen probably noticed that I was kind of distracted over here as somebody was watching. 7:55, they're ready to go. Going, okay, let's take a look at that dishwasher, see what the problem is here. So
it's nice when you're the first on the list.
I know. Well, it turns out he lives in Chippewa. So, yeah, I was expecting somebody from the Twin Cities who was going to get here at like 4:59, you know, and say, oh, no, that still counts. So that's how my week is getting off to a good start. You guys have a good weekend in Madison?
Well, kind of.
Yeah, it was kind of busy here. We had a Coldplay concert at Camp Randall Stadium.
Did you guys go? Were you guys cuddled up with each other before the Jumbotron
picture? Oh, that's so cute. You can do it now.
Well, yes. Yeah. But,
yes, that's what we did.
Okay.
Now, I understand that Coldplay, I guess the concert was great because the weather
was wonderful.
Yes, I've
heard a lot of great things. Yep.
And everything went well, but they warned people. Chris Martin warned everybody that, you know, the video is on, you know, we've got cameras here and just warning people, you know, they could be on camera. So I guess that's part of their show now.
If you're with somebody you shouldn't be with, you don't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
It's part of everybody's show now. The Philadelphia Phillies did a whole takeoff on it. Everybody's doing
it. A lot of sports teams, over the weekend had a little bit of fun with the Kiss Cam. Look, the Kiss Cam was always fraught with peril, okay? I mean, there have been other instances. There was a time recently when somebody was, like, ready, had the sign to hold up immediately to point at the woman next to him. This is my sister, you know, so he knew that the Kiss Cam was a possibility.
I like that. That was good.
So, I mean,
that original video has been seen more than 40 million times, at least over the weekend. That's the number I heard. Wow.
So the guy's girlfriend.
Yeah. So the concert at Camp Randall was the first one in a long time. I mean, Camp Randall seems like a natural place as a concert venue, but it does not have a long record as one. Have you been to any concerts earlier than that at Camp Randall or other special events?
Did you go to Pink Floyd?
Well, I went to Pink Floyd.
Yeah. That was more. That was 30 years ago.
But they had a lot of concerts, I think, held there. But
I saw the Rolling Stones there.
Yes, you did. Really? They had them too. Mm-hmm.
Now, before Coldplay was there on Saturday, Morgan Wallen, a country singer, there.
Yes.
He was there 2 or 3 weeks ago for a Friday and Saturday night, a double, you know, double date.
That was
there.
Country, and no one noticed.
Well, there were a lot of cowboy hats. And,
yeah, I don't know about that. When did you see the Rolling Stones, Kristen?
Must have been late 90s.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was a good show?
Yeah, it was a great show.
Okay. All right.
I saw the Stones at County Stadium in the 60s.
Yeah. Mm. Wow, really?
Yeah.
At County Stadium?
I think maybe early 70s. Yeah, early 70s. That's when it was.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was living in St. Paul 1976, and the Rolling Stones were performing at the St. Paul Civic Center. And we did not live too far from there, and we were just driving one evening, I don't know, to go to grandma's house or something. I don't know what, because we were 12 years old at the time. I just remember seeing that out in the streets, like, you know, there was all this rowdy behavior going on. Come to find out the next day, they basically classified it as like a mini riot, as all these Stones wow. fans came out of this. It was the mid-70s. It's what you did. You rioted after a concert, right? I mean,
well,
it was in the rule book.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we slept overnight in front of the County Stadium doors.
Did you really?
Get in, yes. Wow. Believe it or not. What a dumb thing to do.
Didn't we find out that we both were at a Stones concert at Alpine Valley?
Yes, Alpine Valley, yeah.
Around 1992, 93, somewhere in there, at Steel Wheels tour.
Yes.
And it rained. But it was still a great show.
Of course it rained, you know.
Yeah. Well,
always rains at Alpine Valley.
Yeah. Here I get to share the Alpine Valley story that I don't think I've shared on air before. Amazingly, this thumb is still attached as a result of it.
Uh-oh.
It was a Jimmy Buffett concert, so margaritas may have been a factor. But at one point after the concert, you know, it takes forever to get out of Alpine Valley.
Yes.
And we could see that. We thought, well, you know what? We're just going to keep tailgating here in the parking lot until traffic goes down a bit. It'll be fine. And somebody decided to get up on his family minivan and stand up there and take in the crowd and take in the music and all that. And that was all fine. No big deal. Other people were doing that as well. It was a fun night. And I go to get off the top of the family minivan, which had one of those luggage racks. My thumb along the luggage rack while doing what I thought was a perfect Kerry Strug dismount. It turned out that I had sliced my thumb rather severely. And my wife, a doctor, says that's going to need stitches. And my response was, that doesn't need stitches. It just needs another margarita. And I dipped my cup in the bucket of margarita and imbibed. And we finally got out of there. You know, I kept pressure on it and everything. And finally, just as we're coming toward Madison on our way back to Chippewa Falls, I say to my wife rather groggily from the passenger seat, you know, if you want to stop at an ER, you know, if it'll make you feel better. We can do that. So she did.
Aww.
And of course,
how thoughtful of you.
Yes. The admitting clerk was like, you know, how did you do this? And I, of course, like, well, I closed the car door on it, you know.
Yeah.
And the look that she gave my wife and the wife gave her, because one thing it did not look like was a crush injury at all. But that was my story, and I was sticking to it.
How many stitches?
I don't remember how much it was, like six or something like that. So, you know, as soon as Sherry saw that the ligament hadn't been, I wasn't going to lose the thumb, but I was going to gain a scar and a reason to embarrass myself on statewide radio someday at the right moment. And it's the right moment, thanks to you people and telling me about Alpine Valley concerts.
You're kind of glossing over the fact that there was a lot of blood.
There was a lot of blood.
I would assume that there was a lot of blood.
There was. There was a lot of, and thinking, just enough pressure will do it. And as the person here who went to medical school can attest, there's sometimes when putting pressure on is just not enough.
I'm just shaking my head up here in my Brady Bunch corner, Pat.
Kristen doesn't have any embarrassing stories at all that she's not willing to share. Some of you are going to be taking off for a local update. For the rest of you, we'll be continuing this conversation where I let John and Gordy get a word in edgewise. And then when we're all back together in the next half hour, we're going to be talking a bit about toxic masculinity. Nothing that infects this show or John and Gordy's by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a thing, and it's being encouraged by the MAGA groomers, one could say, and the MAHA ones, who are taking anti-feminism to a new level with a new generation of vulnerable young women. That's all coming up on these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning. A criminal complaint was issued against Gavin Thompson, 23, of Dodgeville, according to a press conference Friday at the Iowa County Law Enforcement Center. Thompson will be formally charged next week in Iowa County Court for first-degree intentional homicide of Dodgeville resident Dorinda Sedgbrick, burglary while armed, hiding a corpse, and operation of a motor vehicle without consent, along with other possible charges. Gavin Thompson was arrested in Lincoln, Nebraska, following a pursuit, crashing the vehicle, and trying to flee on foot. The body of Dorinda Sedgbrick, 67, of Dodgeville, was located in the vehicle. Authorities believe the killing was a random act of violence. There was no known relationship between the suspect and the victim. The Richland County Sheriff's Department reports a fatal crash occurred Friday night, July 11th. At approximately 6:45, the Richland County Dispatch received a call about a single vehicle rollover with entrapment. Deputies of the Richland County Sheriff's Office responded along with the Lone Rock EMS and Lone Rock Fire Department. The vehicle had been traveling westbound on U.S. Highway 14 when it crossed the center line, left the road, and rolled into the ditch. The driver and only occupant to the vehicle, Donald Foster, 47, of Lone Rock, was found trapped under the driver's side of the vehicle. Life-saving attempts were started by bystanders and the Richland County Sheriff's Office. Foster was transported by Lone Rock EMS to the hospital while life-saving attempts continued. Donald Foster was later pronounced dead at the Richland Hospital. Alcohol and road conditions due to heavy rain are believed to be factors in the crash. The incident is still under investigation by the Richland County Sheriff's Office. KM Foods Incorporated, a Chelsea, Massachusetts establishment, is recalling approximately 24,000 pounds of ready-to-eat chicken sausage products that may be contaminated with foreign material, specifically pieces of plastic. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety Inspection Service announced these items were shipped to retail locations nationwide. The fully cooked chicken sausage item was produced on June 28th. The subject of the recall is 11-ounce vacuum-packed packages containing four pieces of all-natural alfresco chicken sausage sweet apple with Vermont-made syrup with lot code 179 and use or freeze-by date October 1st, 2025, printed on the back package label. The product subject to recall bear establishment number P7839 inside the USDA mark of inspection. There have been no confirmed reports of injury due to consumption of these products. FSIS is concerned that some products may be in consumers' refrigerators or freezers. Consumers who have purchased these products are urged not to consume them. These products should be thrown away or returned to the place of purchase. There is another declared candidate for Wisconsin's 17th State Senate District. Lisa White, a businesswoman and lifelong Grant County resident, has officially announced her candidacy. Determined to bring authentic working-class leadership to Madison, White draws on her local roots, entrepreneurial grit, and decades of service to the community. White's campaign launches as a direct challenge to incumbent Republican Senator Howard Markline. She underscores the urgency of change. White stated, quote, two serious issues threaten our district. First, Senator Markline's unwavering commitment to the national Republican agenda has created real harm here at home. By leveraging his role as co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, he has repeatedly blocked and delayed funds already approved in the state budget, jeopardizing critical initiatives for clean water and worsening our health care crisis as local hospitals close. His use of secretive pocket vetoes and disregard for checks and balances leaves our citizens voiceless. She added, quote, second, the western communities of our district have gone too long without true rural representation. The priorities of our small towns have been sidelined by urban agendas for decades. It's time for an advocate who lives our challenges and cares deeply about our future, end quote. White's campaign focuses on fully funding public schools, securing accessible quality health care, and protecting small businesses and family farms. Fundraising numbers fuel speculation that Governor Tony Evers might not run for a third term next year. Recently released campaign finance records show Wisconsin's Democratic governor raised just over $750,000 in the first half of this year. That's compared to the $5 million Evers had in his campaign coffers a month after he announced his candidacy for a second term in 2021. Evers has repeatedly said he'd announce his plans on whether or not he'd run in 2026 after the latest state budget was in place. Two Republican candidates have already announced they're running in next year's gubernatorial contest. Wisconsin residents will begin seeing higher fees for vehicle title transfers and driver's license renewals this fall. The additional fees were included in the new biennial state budget, which Governor Tony Evers hopes will generate nearly $200 million in additional revenue for future transportation spending. The vehicle title fee will increase from $157 to $207. License renewal fees will increase from $24 to $32.50. The fee changes will officially go into effect on October 1st. Wisconsin has joined another multi-state coalition in a lawsuit against efforts by the Trump administration to withhold federal funding. The new lawsuit argues that the Federal Emergency Management Agency unlawfully eliminated the Building Resilient Infrastructures and Communities program. It also argues that the Trump administration overstepped its authority in shutting the program down without congressional authorization. The grant program aimed to improve infrastructure in communities across the state to prepare for natural disasters. A recent study finds a link between a state's weak gun laws and firearm deaths for kids. The study, published last month in the Pediatrics edition of the Journal of the American Medical Association, looked at gun-related deaths for kids and teens from 2010 to 2023. Researchers compared states based on the strictness of their gun laws. They picked 2010 after a Supreme Court ruling that expanded gun rights in some states. They found that states with weaker gun laws, like Wisconsin, saw an increase in firearm deaths for youth. States with stricter laws saw those deaths stay the same or go down. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
News from the center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Attorney General Josh Call announced that he and 45 other attorneys general have indicated they plan to move forward with an agreement in principle with eight opioid manufacturers that could secure approximately $720 million nationwide for their alleged role in fueling the opioid crisis. Wisconsin would receive up to $12 million under the proposed settlements. Under the proposed agreements, eight companies would pay. They are Mylan, now part of Viatris, over $284 million over 9 years, Hikma, over $95 million over 1 to 4 years, Amneal, over $71 million over 10 years, Apotex, over $63 million in a single year, Indivior, over $38 million over 4 years, Sun, over $30 million over 1 to 4 years, Alvogen, over $18 million in a single year, and Zydus, over $14 million in a single year. In addition to these abatement payments, several of the settlements would allow states to receive free pharmaceutical products or cash in lieu of this product. Seven of the companies would also be prohibited from promoting or marketing opioids, making or selling any opioid products that contain more than 40 milligrams of oxycodone per pill, and are required to implement monitoring and reporting systems for suspicious orders. Indivior has agreed not to manufacture or sell opioid products for the next 10 years, but it would be able to continue marketing and selling medications to treat opioid use disorder. Including this agreement in principle and the recently announced proposed resolution with Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family, Wisconsin and the local governments have obtained settlements amounting to more than $874 million. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I love it when I hope rumors are true. According to the New York Post, there are rumblings that Fleetwood Mac will reunite. It's not just from the paparazzi, but rather from Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. They did a coordinated Instagram post sparking rumors. Nicks posted song lyrics from Frozen Love, and Buckingham completed them. The two famously dated and broke up, just like fellow band members Christine and John McVie. Breakups have served the band well, though, because the album they were making during said breakups was Rumors and was awesome. I'm a sucker for a good cop show. My favorite detective show in the last several years is probably Amazon Prime's Bosch. And I also like the spinoff Bosch Legacy. The show has produced yet another spinoff called Ballard, which is based on a character introduced in the last season of Bosch Legacy, Detective Renee Ballard. The detective elements of the show are great, but star Maggie Q lacks a certain charisma. Having said that, there is a lot going on, and the cold cases Ballard takes on are pretty cool. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop into the mid-60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny, warm, and muggy with highs back into the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are back from our road trip across Wisconsin, back to recap all of the weekend news. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
In the morning on this Monday morning, July 21st, 2025. Pat Kreitlow here, Parker Olson producing in Madison, Dr. Kristen Lyerly with us as well. And let me start this segment talking about a couple of programs that come through Up North News' parent company, Courier Newsroom. We've talked a couple of times about the video series, How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes? And I wanted to spend a little extra time on her last two episodes. How Is This Better challenges the grifters out there, the ones controlling our government and our attention and so much of our daily lives. And this week, Akilah Hughes explores the dangerous online pipelines that lure men seeking harmless advice into radical ideologies. The episode delves into the manipulative tactics used by figures like Andrew Tate and Joe Rogan to push hyper-masculine agendas, and highlights the detrimental effects of these ideologies on mental health, relationships, and societal norms. Let's hear a little 90-second clip from Akilah Hughes' program this week. How Is This Better?
To be the alpha, to be attractive, the best thing you can do is to wear your Trump support on your sleeve. Show that you are a real man. Show that you...
Women pretend what they want is the beta, but what they actually want is the alpha.
And there's this weird line that's blurred in the manosphere space where you can't tell when somebody's doing a bit or when somebody's being genuine.
And I have to tell you, it took a lot for me to write this episode. The problems with men who've been sucked into these pipelines online are so vast and endless, it's almost impossible to tell the story in full with adequate levels of pity, empathy, and outrage at just how extreme all of this has become. Still, if you've spent any time online in the past decade, you've seen the momentum growing in the manosphere, telling men and vulnerable little boys that they too can have it all, and their idea of it all means silent, baby-making wife mommies and making more money than God by being more efficient than computers. It's a fool's errand and total farce, but if you have the time, and in many cases money, to become isolated and undesirable to everyone around you, you're the perfect mark in this ongoing con. I'm Akilah Hughes, and this week, I'm looking at the dangerous online pipeline directed at men who were simply looking for health advice or gaming clips, and how the smallest amount of curiosity can lead to frankly deadly results, and asking, how is this better?
Now, last week, the shoe was on the other foot as Akilah highlighted a new flavor of conservative content targeting women online, the rise of the trad wife aesthetic, the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again movement, and how a wellness pipeline is pulling women to the political right, from TikTok videos to wellness-themed women's conferences from Turning Point, perhaps America's best-known far-right supplier of extremism, and getting vulnerable women to embrace outdated anti-feminist tropes. You can watch both of those episodes of the series How Is This Better? On YouTube. You can also watch or listen on Spotify, or you can listen on Apple. You can also watch it right from the Courier website. Go to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. And so, Kristen, we've talked previously on the show, but I wanted to spend a little bit of extra time on this whole notion of how the far right, the people who love to scream about groomers the most, that really is a sense of projection. When you look at who's doing the real grooming toward unhealthy lifestyles, it's happening right there on the American far right.
It is, with some of the most vulnerable people in society, and they don't even realize that it's happening because it's so insidious, and it reinforces some of our greatest fears and the things that we are worried about for our futures. But just because it's happening doesn't mean that we don't have the tools to combat it. And those tools are the same thing that we use every day. It's conversation. It's listening to each other. It's actually confronting some of these flawed assumptions and meeting it with reality and understanding and trust and, frankly, love.
And let's understand that a lot of this push toward, you know, traditionalism, you know, where the man is the alpha and the woman stays at home and has babies and all that. Let's acknowledge that there is reason for that to catch on. Mm-hmm. The frustrations of daily life, the failings of, you know, this stage of capitalism. So there is fertile ground for the far right, you know, to fertilize, if you will. And it just makes it all the more important for those conversations is to acknowledge there's confusion, acknowledge there's angst, acknowledge people have questions about, you know, their health and their lifestyle. And again, if we're not willing to have those conversations with these folks, somebody else will.
It's true. There is always some truth to these movements. That is the base of it. But it's when you take that little grain of truth and then you funnel people into a place where you don't give them the full picture of what's happening, but just that isolated idea of what you want them to believe. And for me, as an OBGYN doctor who believes that people have the ability to make their own healthcare decisions for themselves within the context of their own lives, you need to know what all of your options are, not just the ones that a certain movement want you to have.
Yeah. It certainly has occurred to me many times over the years is, you know, how does this get to be a thing? Because again, I was raised by a single mom, you know, the oldest of four kids. There was no room for toxic masculinity anywhere in there. And so when you see it, and I, of course, have seen a lot of it over time, it's very tough sometimes to still feel like, how does that stick? How does talking down to women, for example, you know, how does that stick with folks? But, you know, this is what they have been exposed to. And you as an OBGYN, my wife Sherry is an OBGYN, you've seen some dads-to-be come in there who are just the most wonderful guys. And you see these others come in, and you don't have to acknowledge thinking this. I'll tell you, somebody else I know thinks it. It's like, who had sex with you so that you could reproduce? Because you might be creating another you, and you're a slime ball.
Don't you think that so much of this stuff is stuff that we see in the predominant culture? Like, I think of when I was a kid, and that this was what my dad believed. My mom had a job before she got married and decided to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. But for my dad in the 70s, it was prestigious to have a wife who was home. And that was important to him. But it didn't actually work for them. He wasn't able to make enough money. She wasn't able to get all the things done. You have to have, in a healthy relationship, give and take. And that means that our gender roles aren't as clearly defined as the MAHA and the toxic masculinity movements would have us believe.
Right. And so let's turn to the women for a moment here, because again, it a lot of times takes two to tango, and you have, again, the term nowadays is trad wife, you know, traditional wife. And again, these videos that are pulling women saying, you know, look at how hard, you know, these women, look, I would not want my daughters to be like, say, the Kardashians. I wouldn't. But I also, the alternative to that isn't to, well, not have a job if you actually want a career, if you want to work. You know, you should have those kinds of opportunities. But you can see for other women, they've been told that that's, you know, That's a wrong path. That's a turnout. And you too, like other docs, you've seen people come in who are a little too docile, you know, compliant, whatever the case may be. And you kind of want to say to them, you know, blink twice if you're a hostage.
Yeah. I mean, being a stay-at-home mom, being part of the MAHA movement, like that is not, it's not inherently bad. If that's something that you want and yes. is meaningful to you, that's great. Do it in an informed way, just like everything else in life. Know what all of your options are so that you can make those appropriate choices for yourself. But, you know, Pat, we haven't talked about how things that are happening now in society are reinforcing that. Like if you can't get childcare, which is happening all over Wisconsin, and we know it's going to get much worse in the future, then you don't have an option. Somebody has to stay home. So that really takes away your ability to do something other than be part of what is that growing MAHA type movement.
It comes back to, I don't want to lose my train of thought here, but of course there it went. And it's always tough to have that happen on live radio. But it was about, oh, here it is.
Look, I saw you wandering as you were looking at this.
It came right back. It eventually was just doing it was in a holding pattern over Oshkosh someplace. And it came back. It was about the child care and some of the comments that I was seeing online, again, coming from your troll area going, you know, well, I don't know why we have to pay these people to be such babysitters. And Corrine Hendrickson, much to her credit, got right in there in the comment section and said, why don't you explain what you mean by babysitter? Why don't you explain? She listed all the expenses that she incurs to be, you know, a good professional child care provider and say, which of those things would you cut out of your child's life? Mm-hmm. And I know that there's that talking point of, well, we didn't need organized daycare before.
No, we did.
You did. You just didn't get it. And our society has grown to a point that embraces early childhood education so that, you know, our kids are informed citizens and not dullards and who have, you know, manners and literacy and all of that. And you still have people going, well, I was plopped in front of a TV and I turned out fine.
That was when we had PBS.
Yeah, right. Yeah, at least you had PBS to be plopped in front of. Although the answer is more like, no, you didn't. If you were just plopped in front of a TV, you probably didn't turn out just fine. Unless, again, yeah, you had some more informative programming out there. But, I mean, this is just one aspect of it, the whole notion of affordable childcare. But also, there's something to be said about sex education. And, again, empowerment for young people comes with knowledge rather than guessing or finding things on TikTok videos instead. So you do need affordable education. You do need affordable child care. You do need good health care so that you're not like just searching on the interwebs for anything that you can find. All of these pieces come into place. And if you don't, if you fight against them in the name of, you know, you got to keep my taxes low, you know, you're going to get what you pay for.
Can I just bring this back to healthcare like I always do? Yes. It is so frustrating to me that people cannot afford healthcare, so they look on TikTok because who can blame you? You need answers. Something is wrong with you. You need to figure out how to fix it. So you go to the place where you can access information. But TikTok is regular people just like sharing opinions as facts. Or sometimes it's Secretary Kennedy sharing disinformation that people believe and are basing their healthcare decisions on. And sometimes those healthcare decisions end up costing them their lives or setting them on a path that determines the rest of their lives that they didn't want because they didn't know what all of their options are. So if we had access to quality, affordable healthcare, if we could go see a healthcare practitioner to get our questions answered and to get the therapies and the treatments that we need for our physical and mental health, we wouldn't be living in this dystopian society that we've created.
Yeah, but we do. And you think if one of the lessons we would have learned from the pandemic was the heartbreaking tales of people who were dying right before dying of COVID, were saying to the doctors and nurses, why won't you tell me what's really wrong with me?
Yes.
Because they, on their deathbed, would not believe that COVID was real because of the conspiracies that they were taught. So, folks, we can do this better. And you can start by watching How Is This Better on YouTube or listening on Spotify or checking out the Courier Newsroom website, couriernewsroom.com, and catch How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes. In my monitor at the corner of my eye, I see that Jane Matinere is back, which is good because I didn't know on the road trip, you know, they were doing Butternut and Hayward, and I didn't know if they'd ever come back from up north. It's God's country up there, you know.
It is beautiful.
But they've made it back. So we'll find out from Jane Matinere what's coming up on her program, which follows this one here weekdays across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoon from 4 until 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It's time to take a look at sports. First of all, on the local and area scene, Sunday League home talent baseball. The regular season came to a close yesterday. Cazenovia lost to Mazamani during the Cazenovia celebration. 11-4 was the final score. Rio over Wisconsin Dells, 7-2. Sun Prairie, 7. And Columbus, 4. Middleton was a winner against Ashton, 10-6. Cross Plains over Wanakee, 4-3. Muscadet needed a win to get
get into the playoffs, and they lost 10-9 to Argyle. The Mudcats had a couple of runners on in the ninth inning, but couldn't pull it off, and their season comes to an end. A couple of players will be representing in the Home Talent Baseball All-Star Game, including Mason Atkins and Casey Layton, and manager Terry Zebarth will be one of the coaches as well. Belleville was a winner, 2-0 over Hollandale. It was Schulzburg-Benton, 4-3 winners against Wyota. Verona, 10, Dodgeville, 1, and DeForest over Poinette, 11-8. Arena was a winner over the weekend, 13-3 over Ridgeway. They've had a good season. As a result, they'll get a home game in the playoffs. Arena earned a number 3 seed in this year's playoffs, and they will host number 6 Hollandale Sunday at 1. Number 4 Schulzburg will host number 5 Belleville this weekend in the Western Section playoffs. Verona is the number 1 seed. They will host Wyota this weekend. 7th seed Pine Bluff Mount Horeb will play at number 2 Blanchardville. The 2025 Wisconsin Football Coaches Association All-Star Football Games were held over the weekend at Titan Stadium in Oshkosh. The WFCA All-Star Games serve as a fundraiser for the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. This year, coaches and players raised more than $350,000. The 8-player All-Star Game on Friday saw the North defeat the South 53-32. A few local players had a chance to play in the game, including Highlands' Wes Krasinger, who caught a touchdown pass for the South from Abundant Life's Jonah Kuhn. Elsewhere in the South squad small schools against the North squad, it was a loss by the South, the North winning 19-12 in the first game played Saturday afternoon at UW Oshkosh. The North had a chance to salt it away in the closing moments, but the South was able to force and recover a fumble with a minute 33 left to keep their hopes alive. However, despite crossing midfield, a final desperation pass at the buzzer was broken up, preserving the victory for the North. Anders Staxton of Wesby scored a touchdown in that. It was a touchdown reception from Jackson Menzel of Lake Country Lutheran, the quarterback. And Jackson Bender of Royal rushed for 93 yards on just 3 carries in the game. The North completed a sweep in the All-Star football games in the large school division. The final score, 28-6. The North getting the win over the South. The South was led in rushing by Owen Primesberger of Mount Horeb Barneveld, who had 50 yards rushing for the South. Well, the Simon Shark swim team will make their first trip in over a decade to Schulzburg. They'll return to the Simon's Recreation Complex after tonight's meet for a Wednesday evening last home meet of the season. At the home meet, the Sharks will be hosting their annual Baby Shark Race, where younger siblings of swimmers get their chance to swim the race. It gets underway at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. A 10-game winning streak has the Brewers tied for first in the National League Central Division standings. Milwaukee survived a shaky ninth inning when Mookie Betts flied out with the bases loaded to end a 6-5 win. The Dodgers couldn't hold an early 3-run lead to avoid the sweep. Jose Quintana earned his 7th victory. Manager Pat Murphy was pleased with the weekend play.
I think you got to, understand that this is a bunch of people that, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. And I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do. We got work to do to improve in every area we can, but we can at least feel like we're capable.
The Brewers are a bunch of no-names, he says.
It's a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of. Like I said, I was no disrespect to the great fans of Japan baseball, but they can't name 5 players in our lineup. And today, for sure, they can't name 5. They can't name 2 in today's lineup. And that's just a credit to hungry players. And, the Dodgers are running into tough luck, and they're not playing their best baseball, and they'll get back on track and be a juggernaut that they are. But, I'm still proud of our club and what they did and, how they competed in big situations. And a bunch of average Joes.
The Brewers will move on to Seattle. It's an 8:40 first pitch time tonight. Brandon Woodruff at 1-0 comes into the game. He will take on the Mariners' George Kirby, who comes in with a record of 4-4. Elsewhere, the Cubs lost to Boston 6-1 as the Brewers clawed their way into first place. It was San Diego 8-1 over Washington, the Mets 3, Cincinnati 2, Arizona 5-3 over St. Louis. In the American League, Baltimore 5, Tampa Bay 3, Cleveland 8, the Athletics 2, Houston 11, Seattle 3, Detroit 2-1 over Texas. An interleague play, Toronto 8-6 over San Francisco, the Yankees 4, Atlanta 2, White Sox 7, Pittsburgh 2, the Angels 8-2 over Philadelphia, Kansas City 7, Miami 4, Minnesota 7-1 over Colorado. Packers quarterback Jordan Love and wife Ronica were at the Love Youth Football Camp on Thursday at University School Campus north of Milwaukee. 600 kids took part from grade school to high school. More girls were on hand this year as well, many now playing in flag football leagues. It benefits Hands of Love Foundation to fund programs to promote kids being involved in sports. He gets them shoes and equipment and creates teams and leagues and playing time on the fields as well. Jordan Love says they're trying to de-stress the kids.
I mean, there's so many different layers of mental health and just creating awareness for that. But I think, like I said, having kids come out here and just be around other kids their age and interact with those kids, you know, make friendships. And I think those are the things that are going to carry them on and into the future and hopefully have a positive impact on their mental health.
That is a look at sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE, FM 107.7, AM 1450, and of course, always on the Civic Media app. We invite you to stay tuned for more programming throughout the day, throughout the week, and we'll keep you posted on sports as well. It's going to be a beautiful day in southwest Wisconsin. We have some heat and humidity rolling in by Wednesday with heat indices that could be in that 100-degree range. So brace yourself for some mid-summer heat. I'm Phil Nee. Have a great day.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A Bangladesh Air Force training aircraft slammed into a school campus in the capital city of Dhaka today. At least 18 people were killed, more than 160 injured, some of them taken to hospitals by desperate parents in rickshaws. Harvard University will appear in federal court today to make the case that the Trump administration illegally cut $2.5 billion from the college in federal funding. Harvard says it's an attempt to have a government takeover of gaining control of academic decision-making at the university. Flood watches up from Missouri through Virginia as the nation saw more flooding over the weekend.
Roads in Seagirt, New Jersey looked like rivers Sunday after heavy rain sparked flash flooding.
How is this even possible?
This after a flash flood emergency shut down parts of the D.C. metro area Saturday.
ABC chief meteorologist Ginger Zee, another 80 Palestinians at least killed over the weekend as they tried to get food aid in Gaza. The U.N. Food Agency says Israeli forces opened fire. This is ABC News.